Good afternoon. I have a question for you this afternoon. Imagine that you are a soldier in medieval times, and you're about to go into battle, and your commander gives you a choice of weapons. You don't have your weapon yet, but he's going to give you a choice. You can either choose a longbow, which is a big bow and arrow. It can shoot a long way, hundreds of yards, or you can choose a longbow. Imagine this. It's a longbow, and it's got arrows, and the arrows are flaming. You light them up, and they catch fire, and so you've got flaming arrows to shoot with your longbow. That's one option. Your second option is just a regular old sword. You can hear the enemy's battle cries as they near the crest of the hill. They're coming at you fast, and you have to decide which weapon to choose. Which one would you choose? Would you choose the longbow with the flaming arrows or the sword? We know that there's a very real type of battle being waged right now, today, in our world. Let's turn to Ephesians 6:14. Ephesians 6:14. Many of you already know where we're going here. It's a very real battle that we're in right now. And it's not a battle between Republicans and Democrats. It's not a battle between left and right. It's not even a battle between Laurel and Yanny. But there are flaming arrows in this battle that we're in. And there are swords, and we have been told which weapon to choose. Ephesians 6:14, reading from the New King James Version, says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts," or flaming arrows, "of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The Amplified Version puts this as, "And take the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God." The sword the Spirit wields is the word of God. It is our Bible, the holy word of God. God speaks to us using his already written word. So God gives us a sword as we go into battle. That's the weapon of Jesus Christ. It's Satan who's the one who uses the fiery darts. So we don't need the flaming arrows. In fact, we can overcome the fiery darts from the enemy using no other weapon than a sword, the word of God. So how is our swordsmanship, or swordswomanship, or swordskidship? How are you at this? We need to become expert swordsmen. So let's talk about that. To be an expert swordsman, the first thing you need to do is you need to know your weapon. You need to know your weapon. A sword only has power if you pick it up. It's nothing if it's just sitting there. You have to pick it up and you have to use it. You have to get to know it. You have to practice with it. Swords can be fun if you've ever picked one up somewhere and just held it. It's fun to just sort of swing it around, you know. Of course, that doesn't make you a swordsman, does it? And it's the same with us with our Bible study. You can't just open the Bible to a random page every now and then and start reading, read a little bit now and then, and expect to actually be growing in God's Word. You have to approach it with more of a plan than that. A few years ago, there was a famous book popularized, written by Malcolm Gladwell, and it popularized the idea of a 10,000-hour rule. The idea was that you could master almost any craft by putting in 10,000 hours of practice. But there's been more research done since then that has shown that that's actually kind of a myth, that there's a magic 10,000-hour rule for mastering any craft. It turns out that practice alone doesn't make perfect, because you can practice something the wrong way over and over and over and not get any better at it if you're not practicing the right way. So the research says that if you really want to become an expert at something, like swordsmanship, you've got to spend many hours of deliberate practice. You have to take time to really think about what you're doing, really break it down, identify the individual motions, the individual mechanics, the individual techniques that are required for the skill that you're mastering. Master the basics. Figure out the basics and master those. And in doing that, and mastering the sub-skills that make up the larger skills, you'll be able to master the craft at all levels by starting at the smallest levels. You'll have the foundation needed to perfect the overall skill. we also need to invest significant time in our Bible study. We need to become expert swordsmen in God's Word. But just like that practical of that principle of deliberate practice, our study also needs to be quality study. We need to set specific goals to accomplish specific things. For example, it's helpful to have a comprehensive Bible reading program where you read the Bible in a year or less with the specific goal of gaining an overview of who God is, what He's doing, and what He wants us to know. And when you do that, you're looking for the trunk of the tree as you go, and you continually ask yourself in every section, what are the main themes, what are the main concepts that are being emphasized here? That's one kind of thing that we need to do. It's a deliberately focused kind of study. And at the same time, we also need to be diving deep here and there, now and then. And that's a very important part of it. Often that comes up when a fascination strikes you, or perhaps just as often when someone challenges you. If someone challenges you on a doctrinal belief you have and you realize that it was a lot more clear in your head than it was when you tried to say it out loud, and you come away from that thinking, you know what, I don't have the foundation on this that I needed. When that happens, that's the time to go really, really deep in our study. And it's in those times that we'll actually retain it much better, because at that time that we were learning it, the answer was personal for us. It really mattered to us at that time, and it's going to stick better then. And that's the time to get out the commentaries, the lexicons, and the historical research to answer those questions. This all helps us not to only bring scriptures to mind when we need them, but also to do so with the proper understanding and context. We have to have the right understanding and context in order to really understand what God's Word says. A skilled swordsman is a very valuable soldier. That's somebody you want to be fighting next to, and someone that you want to have with you in your battalion. But a novice with a sword is a danger to himself, and not just to himself, but also a danger to those around him. You don't want somebody who's never picked one up before fighting next to you. That person's probably going to cause an accident. They might hurt somebody. We can do that too with the Bible. If we're quoting scripture to people without ourselves having a firm grasp on the background material, the context of it, and having really understood it. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Wielding a sword requires training and it requires experience. And that's why we have to seek instruction and correction. We have to seek instruction and correction. Hebrews 4:12 reads, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I got something to show you. I'm sure everybody's staying awake here. This is a sort of two-edged sword. It's the same on both edges here. And I'll just leave this up here. Ibsen said, never leave a loaded gun on the stage, but we'll put it right here and see if anything happens. So two-edged sword. Our sword can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. But what is the significance of a two-edged sword? Well, the first edge is for the enemy. First edge is for the enemy. But in this example of what we're seeing in Hebrews of a two-edged sword, the second edge is for us. We have sin and leaven in our own lives. We still have it. We're still battling it. And God needs to change us, and He has to do it from the inside out. In a sense, God is using that second edge of the sword, and He's using it to perform a sort of spiritual open-heart surgery on us. It's the one that we need. And our Bible will show us those sinful parts of ourselves with God's leadership. Our attitudes, our behaviors, it will show us those things that are weighing us down and preventing us from going where God wants to lead us. Proverbs 27:6, you're familiar with, says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." And certainly we have no greater friend than our God who's helping us to overcome those things. The sword of God's word is sharper than the finest scalpel. And we need to read the Bible asking God to instruct us and correct us. Just as a surgeon saves a dying patient's life, God can also patiently use this tool to cut away the spiritual cancers that are with us, the infections in us, without his hand slipping and doing us harm. And it still hurts to be corrected. It always hurts to be corrected. But God is the perfect surgeon. He's a lot better than us with each other. The incisions that God makes to help us, they always heal cleanly. And we have to go to God's word asking him to show us what he wants us to change. One more thing. We can help each other. We can help each other by keeping each other's iron sharp. Iron sharpens iron. You're familiar with Proverbs 27:17? It was the theme of our general conference this year. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I ask you, where does real change come from? Where does real change come from? Ultimately, it comes from within us. I think most of us have noticed that our friends can't change us very well. They can't change us against our own will. Even God's guidance won't cause us to change against our will. It has to come from within. We have to use our sword, that double-edged sword, that second edge, we have to use that on ourselves. And there's a lesson in that. We don't turn our swords on each other. We all have swords, but we don't turn them on each other. We don't try to perform surgery on each other. That's not our task, and it doesn't tend to work very well. Instead, God wants us to be together as we are today, you know, and sharpen each other's swords. Talk about the Bible, make sure that we understand it, and sharpen each other's swords. Because often, real change only comes after a period of guidance and encouragement from other people, when we ourselves choose to respond. We do sometimes need to correct each other in love. That definitely needs to happen. But the change that comes from that is going to come from when that person obeys God's Spirit working in them. What we can do is we can be there to help sharpen their sword, help them sharpen their sword. That is, help them to understand their Bible better and encourage them on the right way to go. Iron sharpens iron. A sword is both an offensive and a defensive weapon. You can use it to parry or block attacks. That's what parry means. It's, you know, when somebody's coming at you with a sword, you block it and you can push it away with your sword. We don't have time to go through it, but there is an epic sword fight in the battle. In the Bible. And you may have not thought of it this way before. We don't really have time to go through the whole passage, but Matthew 4 is the epic Bible sword fight. It's between Jesus Christ and Satan in the wilderness. In that time, Satan attacked Jesus three times. And one of those times, Satan even quoted scripture to Jesus in his attack. And Jesus quoted scripture right back as a defense. He parried the blow with his own sword. Jesus Christ defeated Satan in the wilderness with consistent, meaningful use of scriptures. So let's become expert swordsmen through deliberate training, by asking God to help us carefully and accurately use it on ourselves, and let's keep each other's irons sharp. We too can defeat the enemy that we're facing with the armor of God and the only weapon he provides, which is the sword that the Spirit wields, and that is the Word of God.